Amen. Let's let them know we appreciate worship this morning, all right? God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Awesome, awesome worship. Thank you so much. Now, young men and women of First Baptist Church, come on up here for just a moment or two before you're dismissed to class. Young men and women of First Baptist Church. Now, you live in a very, very special city or town, because you live in a place where we have a lot of military, and there are ways that we honor the military. Now, there's not a big crowd up here today, so you're going to have to, can you all kind of root and clap and cheer? Let me hear it. Oh, no, you guys. Can you root and clap and cheer? Huh? A little bit? Here, how many, there's Armed Services Day, and that's early in May. And Armed Services Day, if I have my facts right, are for those who are currently serving in the United States military. Is that correct? Am I right on that, Armed Services Day? Yes? Those that are serving in the Armed Services, would you stand right now? You're currently serving in the United States military of some kind. Let's give them a hand, kids. Give them a hand. We're going to honor them. We're going to remember them. We're going to lift them up. We're going to thank them for what they do. All right, thank you guys so much. You may be seated. Now, in November, we have something called Veterans Day. And Veterans Day is for people who have served in the military but are not currently serving right now. Am I right on that one? I want to make sure I got these right, okay? So all of you who have served in the military, would you stand up right now, please? You've served in the past. Let's give them a hand. Thank you so much. We honor you. We appreciate you. I notice Ed's got his Air Force shirt on. He's sitting close to the door so he can get out in a hurry in case he needs to. I understand that. All right. Now, but today, this weekend, is tomorrow, technically, the last Monday of May, is Memorial Day. Now, it used to be called Decoration Day. What are decorations? What are decorations? That's right. Party stuff you can put everywhere. So when you have a birthday party, sometimes you have balloons, sometimes you have ribbons, sometimes you have a cake, sometimes you have all those things. So they're decorations. At Christmas time, you put up things like Easter eggs, right? No, not so much, all right? You put up Christmas trees, and you have sparkling lights, and you have icicles, and you guys don't know what icicles are. You have all kinds of things. And so those Christmas decorations, at Easter we have Easter decoration. Well, Decoration Day was called that originally because people whose loved ones died in the war and were in the cemetery, in the graves, they would go out to the graves, and they would take flowers, and they would take flags. And they would put those by the headstones and by the grave markers of their loved ones. So Memorial Day is a day to remember. And the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. So you know what? When you love someone, you give them what you give them something because you love them. And you can't give them more than your life itself. And so today, First Baptist Church, I know this is a special day to all of you, because we remember those who have passed away and have paid the ultimate price. And may I please do this? May I ask you, if you've lost someone that's close to you, would you please stand? And we want to remember them through you. If you've lost someone in battle, in the military, they gave their lives, go ahead and stand. Don't be bashful, all right? And so we want to remember these people, but we're going to do it in a different way. We're not going to clap and applaud. We're going to bow our heads in a word of prayer, okay? So let's bow our heads. Our Father, for each one of these people who've lost someone very close to them, we can't even begin to imagine how difficult that is. And while we talk about, very easily, by comparison, talk about how wonderful it is that they were willing to pay the ultimate price, these people have lived with the reality of a loved one who paid the ultimate price. So, Father, we ask you to give them comfort and consolation and peace today. We ask you, Father, to stand by them, even though their loved one is not with them right now, to let them know that you will never, ever leave them nor forsake them. And Father, may we remember that we have what we have today because of those who have paid that price. Father, watch over those who are still here with us, and we'll thank you for all of that in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. God bless you, and go to your class. All right, and thank you all so very, very much for being here. We're glad to have you at First Baptist Church today. Kind of a different message today, a little bit. Sometimes at church, we'll sing songs like Onward, Christian Soldiers, Marching As to War. Our children, we used to, in Vacation Bible School, one of my favorite songs to sing is We're in the Lord's Army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery, but I'm in the Lord's Army. Yes, sir. You know, how many have ever sung that before? The rest of you think I've lost my mind up here. We're in the Lord's Army. Why do we sing about being in the Lord's Army? Why do we talk about Onward, Christian Soldiers? Is it because we're in a military community? Nah. Is it because Western civilization is so barbaric and militaristic? Nah. It's because we're in a war, whether you like it or not. We're in a war. And no one likes war. I don't think anyone likes war. I did make a visit one time years ago, one of the first visits I made, actually, and the guy was knocked on the door late at night. There's a fluorescent light burning. He said, come in. I went, and he was sitting in one of these big peacock chairs, and he said, I was trained to kill men, and I can't stand this peacetime stuff. He's the only person that I've ever had say that he just loved war. He wanted to have war, but most people don't. The nation of Israel doesn't like war. The Arab nations don't like war. The United States doesn't like war. But even if you don't like war or desire war, the bombs still burst and the bullets fly. And we, in another way, in a spiritual sense, not in a physical, literal sense, but in a spiritual sense, we have spiritual bombs bursting all around us. We have fields that are planted with landmines, spiritually speaking. We have all kinds of spiritual darts and bullets and arrows flying through the air because we're fighting a very powerful enemy who doesn't care the least little bit about fighting fair. He just wants to win. And my question to you this morning is, have you reported for duty? Are you faithfully fighting the good fight? On this Memorial Day, we remember those who fought and paid the ultimate price, not those who refused to fight or deserted. And right now, I want to show you just a short video, again, in honor of those who did pay, in fact, the ultimate price.
Thank you.
Freedom is neither free nor is it cheap. And we have this Memorial Day. It's not enough. Hopefully we'll remember them more than just one day a year. But one day there'll be a Memorial Day for those who are in the Christian army as well. I want us to think about that. I want us to see the parallel between being in physical combat and physical war and being in a spiritual war. And to do that, the first point I want you to look at is a soldier's call and deportment. A soldier's call and deportment. Our call to battle is clear and certain in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I think the verses will be on the screen if you'd like to follow along. The Apostle Paul is writing to his son in the ministry, Timothy. He says, "Timothy, my son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You've heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of a civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules." And so this is kind of Paul giving his marching orders to young spiritual son Timothy in the ministry. He said, "I want you to be strong. We have a lot of weakness. We have a lot of weak Christians. We have a lot of Christians who don't know what they believe or why they believe it. They don't know necessarily what the Word of God teaches. They'd be hard-pressed to be able to defend any of the major doctrines." He says, "Be strong through grace." He says to teach people who, he said, I teach you these truths, and now I want you to teach them to others who will then be able to pass them on to others. And there's this generational teaching that should go on. There's the idea of passing on the Word of God from one generation to another, the doctrines of the Word of God, and the Christian living from one generation to another. It doesn't just start and end with us. It goes on and on and on until Jesus comes again. Enduring hardness, enduring suffering. I can't imagine what it's like to be in actual combat. Those of you who have, understand. For me, the realization probably came not when I watched Audie Murphy on the tank in that, whatever that film was, mowing down hundreds and maybe thousands of enemy and his hair still not getting mussed up. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that when John Wayne, you know, took on whatever he took on and always seemed to win. He got wounded occasionally, but it was no big deal because he was John Wayne. For me, the reality came with Saving Private Ryan. When I watched in the first few moments, in the opening moments, when the troops began landing in Normandy Beach, and the awfulness of it, the things that I never thought about, the people who were already sick, maybe not feeling well, the people who were absolutely, their stomach filled with butterflies, the people who were seasick as they were trying to land, the people who, I mean, just the normal routine things that you never even think about, that on a scale of what they were about to face was absolutely nothing, but they went into it already compromised in some way. And then to get shot as the doors dropped open and to get mowed down and to get and all of the awfulness and what happened when in those first few scenes brought home to me in a way I'd never ever thought before of what war really is like. And whoever said war is hell knew what they were talking about. So you endure hardness. You endure suffering. I don't know about actual literal physical battlefields, but I do know about spiritual battlefields. And I know that we need to endure. I know it's one thing to profess to be a Christian. It's one thing to say we're serving God. It's one thing to say I'm in the Lord's army. It's another thing to hang in there and not to desert, to be faithful, to be true, to be consistent. When you're on the mountaintop, it's easy to serve. When you're in the valley, you have to push yourself to serve. That's where soldiers and sailors and the Lord's military are made. Endure suffering. Don't get too entangled with this world. As Christ's soldier, we don't become tied up in the affairs of this life. Of course you have to eat. Of course you have to provide housing. Of course you have to be able to get from place to place. And so to some extent we have to. And if you're married, you have a family to think about. You have a wife or a husband or children to think about. And that's not what he's talking about. Don't get so worldly and weighted down by the cares and things of this world that if the rapture takes place, you get a hernia because you're so glued to this world. Don't let that happen. Our thoughts and our future ought to lie in heaven. Follow the rules. Follow the rules for doing his work. An athlete has to follow the rules. You don't see a baseball player, hitting a line drive that gets through, just gets by the first and second baseman, and so instead of running to first, he runs to third because he wants a triple. You don't see that. What's wrong with that? It's against the rules. That's all that's wrong with that. You have to play sports by the rules. You have to fight the battles of life by the rules. You have to serve God by the rules. And so your call and deportment is important. Have you been called into the Lord's service? I remember my call as a young man, the age of some of those that were standing up here just a few minutes ago, 1954, Chicago Heights, Illinois. I remember attending my classes that I likened to Baptist catechism classes because we met with the preacher once a week for several weeks and put a scrapbook together and went over the cardinal doctrines, memorized certain passages of Scripture together, and it all culminated with explaining that Jesus had to die, and he had to die for my sins, and he was buried, but that wasn't the end of it because he rose again after 3 days and three nights, and he is alive forevermore, and he wants to forgive me of my sins and be my Savior. So I responded to the call. A young man, not realizing what all it would entail, but in June the 9th, 1966, I responded to the call to service, to do whatever God wanted me to do, to go wherever God wanted me to go, to be whatever God wanted me to be. Do you have a call? And if you have a call, it'll help you in your deportment. If you don't have a call, if you don't feel like you have a call, you're just kind of wandering through life, wondering again why you're here. We just spent 5 weeks talking about why we are here. God doesn't create junk, and he doesn't make mistakes. So you're a special creation of God for special purposes. Find what it is, serve him, respond to the call, and conduct yourself in a way that is consistent with that call. Then the way we're to conduct ourselves as soldiers is spelled out in the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, beginning in verse 12. And specifically, in fact, I prayed this prayer over my grandson who just turned 18 Friday night. I prayed this prayer over him. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. King James, let no man despise thy youth. Don't look down on a young woman who wants to serve God, a young person who wants to serve God. Don't look down on them because of their limited years. But here's what you are supposed to do, Timothy. Don't let anybody despise you because you're going to be an example to all believers in what? In what you say, the words that come out of our mouths, in the way you live, your testimony, your conversation, King James says, your testimony, the way you live. In your love, charity, in the King James, in your faith and in your purity and all those things, what you say, the way you live, your love, your faith, your purity, let those things speak loudly. Be an example in those things until I get there, Paul said. Focus on reading scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Don't neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you in a symbolic conferral of the power of the Holy Spirit. When they set aside someone for ministry, for God, they still do, for gospel ministry, they lay hands upon that person, conferring the power, the blessings on that person. Throw yourself into the tasks so that everyone will see your progress. I like that. Don't meander into it. Don't kind of waltz into it. Don't kind of trip into it. Throw yourself into the tasks, into the work at hand, so everyone will see your progress, and keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. You know how? You know why you need to keep a close watch? Because we don't backslide all at once. It's a gradual thing. It's just a little letting down here and a little letting down there. Maybe not reading your Bible, maybe not praying, maybe not going to church, maybe missing on Memorial Day. I'm not preaching to you guys about that one. It's like, you're here, so praise God for that. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Make sure you're doctrinally straight. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and for the salvation of those who hear you. Stay true to what is right. Often, and as we look at this, he said, the only one despise your youth. Often, sailors are very, very young. I was on the Carl Vincent the other day, and holy cow, are they enlisting like 11-year-olds now, 12-year-olds? I don't know. Maybe it's just me, because same thing has happened now. I go to the doctor, and in comes, what's that guy's name? Dookie House, some 12-year-olds. Now, what's wrong, Mr. Mays? Are you kidding me? Seem like they're just out of, you know, sixth grade or something like that. Younger, but you know what? Younger doesn't mean you can't be faithful to God. Younger doesn't mean as a teenager you have to do what all the other teenagers around you are doing. Younger doesn't mean that you can't be serious for God, the things of God. Shoot, I got a 12-year-old up there running words on. He's doing a great job, and he's been doing that for several months. No man despises your youth. Do what you do for God, for the glory of God. Emphasize the teaching of the Word of God. Use what God has given you, the gifts that God has given to you. Grow in the Lord. Be careful. Be watchful. As a sentry, again, the military term of as a sentry, watch over what you're doing, what you're saying, the way you're living, your love, your faith, your truth, all of that. A soldier's strength for battle. Number two, the source of our strength is not within ourselves. The source of our strength. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, when I think of this, I fall on my knees and I pray to God, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you. He will empower you. If I were going to, now this is the way the text came out of the scripture, but if I would, I would capitalize the H in he, because it's referring to God. He will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Another capital H, his spirit, the Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. Your roots are important. I don't care how strong you appear on the outside if you don't have good roots. Hey, these trees, the reason they stand when the winds blow around here is they have a good root system. If they don't, they blow over. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. It is immeasurable. His love is without end. His love is like him. It is infinite. May you experience, Paul said, the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. Power, exousia, power, the dynamite of God, dynamite comes from him. The source of our strength is not our own ability. It's not our own wisdom. It's not our own physical strength. It's not our own intellect. It comes from God. And then along with the source of the strength, we think about the strength of Almighty God. In Ephesians 6:10, where he says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on God's all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand against the strategies of the devil, the wiles of the devil. In the KJV, I used to pronounce that willies, the willies of the devil, because the wiles of the devil give me willies. That's hard to say. The wiles of the devil gives me willies. He is, hey, do you know the devil is powerful? Don't you know that? He's extremely powerful. Hey, he is not omnipotent. There's only one, by definition, only one omnipotent being. There can't be a multiplicity of omnipotent beings, because all power means all power over all things. And God, the triune God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, is that omnipotent power that's over all. And Satan was, as Lucifer, a high-ranking, I don't know if he was like a wing commander. I don't know if he was like, an admiral. I don't know what he was, but he was way up there in that structure and in the chain of command for angelic created beings that God made, and he fell. He still has a lot of power. And you and I are no match for him in and of ourselves. It's got to be the strength. The source of our strength is God. The strength of God is omnipotent. And then the enemy in Ephesians 6:12, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against flesh and blood over, fighting ISIS over in Afghanistan and places in the Middle East. We're fighting against literal enemies in a lot of different places, physical flesh and blood enemies. But I really believe that behind those enemies, there are spiritual entities that are our real enemies. And I think a lot of us go through battles right here on that we don't realize are spiritual battles. I think we think it's just difficult people, circumstances. And I think a lot of times those difficult people and those circumstances and those problems that we have from day to day have a spiritual... You know, in the United States of America, we don't talk a lot about demon possession And we don't talk about demon oppression, but I think there really are such things. And some of you who've been to other countries in the world, a lot of that is much more open, out in the open, and recognized as spiritual evil, witch doctors and mediums and those who have those kinds of ability. I think a lot of them do have those kinds of powers, and they all come from Satan. I think in America, we have a tendency to get a category of and put a label on some spiritual activity that may well be, in fact, demon activity. So we fight the battles. The enemy is not flesh and blood, but evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. We went to the movie the other day, and we got we're going to watch a 3D movie of Captain America. Because he's my favorite guy. Captain America. Can you tell? He's my favorite guy. So I was going to wear my Captain America t-shirt, but it doesn't fit. So what was I going to say with that? Got off on it. All right, so the fact of the matter is that we are fighting these mighty powers in the dark world against evil spirits in heavenly places. We put those glasses on. We were able to see then things that we couldn't otherwise see. And I believe if we had some kind of an ability to put on a special pair of glasses today that where we could see the spirit beings around us and the things that are going on, it would open our eyes to activities, satanic activities going on. I think what's happening in America today is satanic. I think the further we get away from God, the more we're going to go into humanistic reasoning and rationale. I think the more we get away from the standards of the Word of God, the more we're going to go along with whatever the crowd says, whatever the world wants. And I think it's got the seeds of destruction that have been planted and have been watered now are coming to fruition. When I was in school, the Bible was taken out of the schools. We start every day with the Pledge of Allegiance. You don't have to pledge allegiance in the public school system anymore. In fact, I don't think they do very often. Now, some places, some school districts do. Evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Goliath was a formidable enemy, but ours is worse. The Assyrians were a fierce army, far outnumbering Israel, but ours are worse. The Huns and the Romans were barbarian and ruthless, but ours more so. Napoleon, England, Germany, Japan, all fielded incredible armies, conquered worlds. Our enemy has conquered far more. Our enemy's not mere flesh and blood. He's not just 9 feet tall. He's not just numerous as the grains of the sand of the sea. Not just pagan without morals. Not just merciless, racist, and unstoppable. Ours are the enemies behind some of the mortal, physical enemies that are on the earth. Spiritual entities in powerful places, fighting with weapons we can't see, using strategies that against which we can't defend unless the Lord help us. Our strength, thankfully, lies outside of ourselves, because if it were not, we'd be doomed. Soldier's armor, here's part of it right here, Ephesians chapter 6, an important part of it, and beginning in verse 13, now therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Stand your ground. I like that. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This I hold my hand right here. This is the sword of the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. All of the armor is important. And having all of the armor, stand your ground. God didn't call us to retreat. God didn't call us to give up and to give in. In order to do that, faith is necessary. As we put on our salvation, take the sword of the Spirit, praying all the time. That's the soldier's armor. There are a whole series of messages that can be preached on that. The last point, a victorious soldier's reward. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. At home, we have some of Pat's dad's medals, ribbons. He served in World War II, the big red one. Went through Europe. Later on, he served in Korea. Pat lost an uncle in Korea that was marched off, last seen as a POW, never to be heard from again. Pat's father had a couple of Purple Hearts and lots of other medals that I don't recall or don't know what they were necessarily. Matthew Holly, Gold Star, because he gave his life in Iraq. Sandy, your son, Matthew, Gold Star parent right here. Gold Star widows. Why do they get those? Because they served and paid a price. You wouldn't trade your loved one for 1,000, for 100,000 Gold Stars. It's just a token. But one day, Christian soldier, one day, there will be rewards for being faithful in battle and not deserting and not running and not giving up, but being faithful. So will there be a crown for you? Are you living? Are you battling for him, for his kingdom, for his righteousness? The verse here means that we look forward eagerly to his return. Are you looking forward eagerly to the return, the literal physical return of Jesus Christ? Or would you, if he came back right now, would you be embarrassed? That day will be our Christian soldiers' Memorial Day, our Decoration Day. A soldier is a soldier, whether he's enlisted or drafted. In some countries, military service is mandatory. It was in our country back when I was that age. I've got my draft card here still. Didn't burn it. Still got it. Some countries, again, there's a, you don't have the option. If you get a certain age, you register and you serve. By virtue of the new birth, listen to me, by virtue of the new birth, faith in Jesus Christ, you have, you are a Christian soldier. Now, will you stand your post? Will you fight the battle? Or will you desert? What kind of soldier are we? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our Heavenly Fathers, we think about, as we have been for several days, really, those who have paid so high a price for our freedoms and our country. We get overwhelmed. We watch the videos. We're so emotionally affected. Understanding, trying to understand, I should say, how tragically families have been affected. What a great loss it's been. But Father, we think back 2,000 years ago, and you lost your son in the most epic battle ever between the fallen angel Lucifer and your son. And yet that loss was temporary, because after 3 days he rose again, so that the victory can be ours. God, we're not called to be successful. We're not called to be happy. We're not called to be fulfilled. We're not called to be peaceful. We're called to be faithful. So God, help us when the tendency is to turn and run, when the tendency is to give up. God, help us to stand there for. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, right now? I don't know. If you would like to come and pray, receive Christ as your personal Savior, I'll be down here. Rachel will be down here. If you're a lady, talk to her. If you're a guy, talk to me. Maybe you want to come and rededicate your life. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone that you're concerned about is on the battlefield right now. Maybe you'd like to come and just remember someone that you love very, very much who's not here because they paid that ultimate price. Maybe you'd like to come join the church. I don't know what it is. You come and tell us. We'll be glad to do whatever it is you want to do. Fitz is over here. I'm over here. Rachel's over here. As we sing the invitation, it's open to you right now, so come ahead.